When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Anybody, anywhere, anywhere.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
Welcome into Take Command with Logan Paulson, who spent a decade in the NFL. I'm Grant Paulson. You can listen to me from 2 to 6:30 on 106.7 The Fan every day. Watch this pod on the 106.7 The Fan and Team 980 YouTube channels if you want to see us in semi-high definition, depending on our wireless. Hello, Logan. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you doing? You doing okay?
I'm doing very well. Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed myself out at the joint practice session.
How fun was that, by the way, man?
That was
so fun. Yeah,
that was football. That was real-life football. You know, I was standing out on the sideline, and the music was blaring at like 8,000 megawatts, like so loud, just reverberating in my skull. And players were jumping around and like going down the stretch line, dapping each other up. And I'm like, this feels like a stadium. This feels like a football game. It was just not a practice really in any way. Speaking of games, preseason game one, if you're listening on Friday morning, it's tonight. We are going to preview that game to an extent. We're going to give you some of the things we're looking forward to seeing, players to lock in on, all coming up on this pod. But we should start with that joint practice. I love these because when they're conducted well, and you called it, like there weren't fights, there wasn't a melee, they didn't have to stop it early, you actually get so much work in.
Yeah.
It was 2+ hours of like really good work. Lots of starters, some backups, a lot of 11-on-11s. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it's great. You know, like I talked to Dan a little bit on our training camp live show for the team about like what went into the practice. And he's like, we really want it to be really tight. We want to make sure we're getting one-on-ones, we're getting red zone, we're getting move the ball period. And we're going to kind of hit that in a cyclical nature. And it was really crisp. Like I've done joint practices where you kind of finish a drill and you're like, what do we do now? Like, where do we go? Like, what's the next thing? And I didn't feel like there were any lulls in practice like that. I feel like everybody knew what they were doing. I thought it was really competitive. Like one of the drills that stuck out to me, Grant, was probably kind of a throwaway drill, but it was like they did like a live kickoff coverage rep. Like they kind of shortened the field. They had the commanders were covering kicks. They had the frontline guys out there to block. And that was a physical, fun drill to watch. And there were some guys out there like Kane Medrano, Bradley, the receiver, I kind of thought did a great job. Cajo, I thought also stood out in that drill. And then you get guys like Rasul Douglas out there, you know, so everyone's like competing for a spot, being physical. And there were no fights, like you said, or the couple like little dust ups here and there, but nothing crazy. And I just thought it was really crisp and the work was great. And it was just so fun. Like the energy of the crowd, the energy of the players was just on a different level.
I also thought for what it's worth, and it's probably not worth much, I don't think the Dolphins are going to be any good. So that was one of my big takeaways, is like, that's a really bad football team. Having said that, Washington gave him the business for much of practice. And I thought on both sides of the ball was clearly superior. And that probably needed to be the case. If we're being honest, like third year of a program, you've got a franchise quarterback, got a lot of new additions who can play on defense. You should absolutely beat the Dolphins in a practice and handle them. But I thought at times they dominated them, which it was encouraging to me. And on both sides of the ball, I came away feeling pretty good. There are some things I want to get to that I was concerned about and or continue to wonder about, a little nervous about. We'll get to those next. But let's just start with some of the biggest takeaways positively from that workout. First, I don't know that we've talked enough on this pod about how good Jaden Daniels looks under center.
Yeah,
and how smooth this transition has gone. Because it was a major talking point during the offseason. It's something I have wondered a lot about. I've wanted to run an offense like this for a couple of years, and there's always been a little bit of the pushback of like, yeah, but is it Daniels friendly, or how would he handle it, or whatever? You forget that he's never done this before when you watch it. Dude, there was so much under center play action boot. It was like that was what they wanted to work on in this practice or something. Everything seemed like it was under center play action boot, and he was making good decisions. The way he layered throws over top of outstretched fingertips at the second level, his accuracy intermediate and deep, I charted him at 12 for 16. The four incompletions in team periods were a batted ball at the goal line, two balls that were broken up on good corner play down the field that were pretty accurately thrown, dropped into a bucket. And then he had one missed throw on 16 throws where he like missed Luke McCaffrey on a deep corner route. That was the entirety of the day. He was phenomenal, looked really, really comfortable. I think he has been way farther along in this offense this early than I thought. If you juxtapose him with like the storylines out of Chicago with Caleb Williams last year and some of the guys that have made this transition.
No, I think you're 100% right. And I think you also, first off, the accuracy has just been stellar. The other thing that I think you didn't touch on there, but it's an important thing to note, is I think he's been on time. You know, like there are certain times where you're watching this and you're like, oh, he's a little bit late. He's holding the football. And there are times like that for sure. But I do think that like when you were watching stuff from Chicago last year, it's Caleb Williams trying to, you know, maybe sit on something a little longer. I feel like Jaden Daniels has a really good feel for like, all right, we've got a high low here. I'm kind of reading this thing. It's not there. I'm working a number two, the second part of the read, and then I'm getting down to the back. And it just happens so quickly, especially in the low red. Obviously not in practice yesterday, but it was 2 days ago. Like, you did a great job. Like, it was like bang, bang, balls out. And then like today, yesterday, I thought it was kind of the same thing. And the other thing I wanted to touch on too is I think we were exposed to seeing him in a certain context. We think about him in this Cliff Kingsbury offense. And I don't think people realize like there are benefits to that setup and there are benefits to that offense, which we've talked about on the show a ton, but it's also very challenging because you're relying on the concept and the player to distribute the field in a certain way. And when you're playing these like complex zones and these match zones, like teams are really good at it. And so the throwing windows get really, really tight. And so now watching some of this play action stuff, and you know, this offense that David Blau is bringing, I think you're starting to see, especially in this practice, how that play action stuff opens up the second and third levels of the field with like nice throwing windows. Now, Jaden Daniels making excellent throws, but it's kind of like the answer's there. It's like that linebacker steps up, that safety steps up. I've stretched the zone with the run action, with the formation, and we get that beautiful, beautiful touch throw right over the second level of defense to Treylon Burks there. And so I think that's the other thing that maybe feels really good about it is there are easier solutions from the boot game, from the play action stuff, which is, again, I think going to be a big feature of this offense.
So that was the second thing I wrote down, which was just to praise the passing game and the offense and the spacing. And I thought, again, everything's a caveat because I don't know how good the Dolphins defense will be or the secondary is or whatever. Yeah. Having said that, guys were running naked open at the second level. Like, it was really what you're looking for and what you kind of dream on when you go with this Ben Johnson, Kevin O'Connell. Like, I saw a lot of O'Connell to me in the team period, to be honest with you, with some of the, like, what I consider to be like a couple of those little pop passes where you're under center, play action, kind of stand tall, rip it over the middle. But most of it was a moving pocket. A lot of it was bootlegs.
Yeah.
But I mean, down the field throws, Treylon Burks on that kind of over route, behind a linebacker, you had two toe taps at 25 plus yards downfield on the sideline where Daniels just ripped the football. Yeah. That takes so much arm strength. And like McLaurin and Van Jefferson both catch those. There was another ball on a corner route that Treylon Burks caught, but there was a 27-yard throw to Chig in the middle of the field where he pushed it vertically. Like, how many guys did I just name where you're those are big chunk plays. Like, that wasn't just, you know, he was also very accurate to digs underneath and doing some of the stuff in the 2 minute period where he's just throwing to, you know, flat footed receivers for 4 and 5 yards. One of my favorite throws, by the way, was were you able to watch like that 2 minute period that they ran?
No, I missed that. We were doing the show. I missed it.
So yeah, so very end of practice, they ran like a 40 seconds on the clock, 2 minute offense, hurry up, right? And there was, it was like down in distance. So it was a second and, I'd have to get out my notebook, but it was like a 2nd and 7. And he rips this throw to Chig going out of bounds and he gets his feet in for like 8 yards and he moves the chains. And it was just like, it was big time. But yeah. I just thought the offense, the passing game, like the stuff that you wanted to see, you did. And to that point, think about all the guys I'm naming. The receiver room was great. I know one-on-ones are geared toward receivers torching corners. But like they took their lunch as you would want them to. Diggs is a game changer. He looked very good. McLaurin flashed a bunch as you'd anticipate. But it was down the depth chart. It was like Burks had huge moments. Van Jefferson made a big catch. That was, I thought, the best practice that Jalen Lane has had so far. Jaden Bradley showed up in the red zone. Like, I felt really good about the receiver room.
Yeah, and I think the other one, too, that I'm starting to feel come along a little bit, he's been, I don't want to say quiet because I think he's done some good stuff, is Antonio Williams. I think in the one-on-ones there, did a good job. Obviously, loses his first rep, but you see some of that kind of short area quickness on the second rep there, and is just being more productive. So, you know, talk about guys like, I know we're previewing the preseason game later, like, I kind of want to see what that looks like in a game situation, obviously, if he does play. So anyway, yeah, I think
this is... I want to say on Antonio Williams really quick, his highlight of practice, they lined him up in the backfield next to Marcus Mariota, who is in shotgun. And Williams is in the backfield as like a running back. He comes out and runs an out and up. This is in like basically like the low red. I don't remember the exact spot, but around the 10-yard line. He runs this little out and up, and they get him on a linebacker. And it was a beautiful ball from Mariota, but a hell of an athletic adjustment in the air to make the catch. And it was, he won, just a beautiful route. But like, yeah, all these guys showed up and you start to think about it. You go, man, they're going to cut Van Jefferson I don't think it'll be De'Ami Brown, but like they're going to cut a guy that's going to play in this league. I mean, any one of the receivers that they cut, I think could play for the Dolphins and maybe catch passes for the Dolphins in September. Like,
at Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
I'm Serena Williams, and I'm healthier on Row. I've lost 34 pounds in a year with GLP-1s, diet, and exercise. On Row, you can access GLP-1 options, including the first FDA-approved GLP-1 pill for weight loss. Go to row.co/journey to see if you qualify. 14 to 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 2.2% to 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Based on what we watched.
I think you're right. And I think the thing that I'm like they came out and they did what they were supposed to do. They had like a really excellent practice. The receivers, all the pass catchers, right? You mentioned Chig too. The thing that I think it's important just to kind of note, I'm not trying to pour cold water on it. It's like the Dolphins are not good right now. Like their roster is not good. So this is what it should look like. So again, like
correct.
In terms of data points, they kind of checked that first box. You know, Craig Hoffman used to say like they passed the test that they were given. So that's what they did. But I really want to see them against better competition. Like, so now the next thing is like that Baltimore joint. But in terms of them coming out, like they look, like you said, I think you explained it really well. Like this is the third year of a program. They've brought all these kind of big free agents in this offseason. Everybody looked as they should. The receivers, the pass catchers, especially with the addition of Stephon Diggs, just looked to be in such a better spot. You know what I mean? Like everybody's kind of bumped down the depth chart in a night way. You got really a 1A, 1B situation with your starting receivers. Like it looked like it should look. Now, again, I think Miami might be the worst team in the league this year, but now we got to kind of keep growing, keep getting better, and keep developing. And I think that's, but in terms of passing the test, I think they did a great job of that.
Yeah, and I want to say too, really quickly, I've spent all of my time on like the offensive field watching Washington's offense, Miami's defense, like good on good. So I didn't get to see nearly as much of the defense. They eventually came over and I got to see a little bit of Washington's defense against Miami's offense. And what I did see, and then also subsequently what I've seen reported by some of the guys that were over there covering that field, was that the pass rush dominated in the team period as well.
Yeah.
Which you would want. I mean, again, this is Malik Willis is, you know, trying to become a starter in this league. And, you know, the 11 on 11s that I saw, he's running for his life. And there were in a 5-play period, it was like 2 or 3 sacks with a holding penalty. And they went backwards and you know, they started the drive closer to the goal line than where it ended.
Right.
Which was really encouraging. I know there were some, you watched some of the one-on-ones, so maybe you could speak to this, but I don't think individually it was necessarily like dominant from the pass rushers against the offensive linemen, but that's the Flores defense to me. Like the sum is going to be greater than the individual pieces. And when you confuse and you put 6 on the line and you do some of that stuff, you're going to get some free releases. So you see Owe and you see Caleb on J-Scott in the backfield. Apparently the D tackles really feasted too. Kinlaw and Payne and Amenahu had really, really good practices. So yeah, not overly, I'm not punching my, you know, my plane ticket to Super Bowl City or anything like that, but you wanted them to look good and they looked good.
Yeah. And the defense too. I mean, it was just like, you know, I got to watch some, cause I was like standing at the other end of the field. So you're kind of like, you'd watch the offense and you'd kind of get your eyes over, watch the defense. They just seem so much farther along than they were last year, just in terms of even like coverage structure, like the way they're able to match concepts. You mentioned the pressure. You mentioned how aggressive that group is. Like even with the second group, I remember Joshua Josephs, they were kind of running what I would call like a Zorro off of like a spirit motion. Like, you know, it's that clip that Miami used to do a ton of where they bring the tight end across, just a tight end to the play side, and you just try to jack up that edge defender and like throw him out of the club. And he, you know, really blew that double team up, kind of took it to the ground, and Kane Medrano comes in and makes the tackle. Like they just did a lot of good stuff defensively. I thought they were really aggressive. There were small windows, and there aren't good receivers over there. There are guys that I think are good in roles, like, you know, Greg Dulcich. I like the tight end. Achan, I like him quite a bit. But like their starting receiver is Caleb Douglas, who's a 5th-round pick, you know, and who I liked coming out. But like, obviously that's a big step for him in terms of responsibility. And Malik Willis, who I think had a great year last year in Green Bay, like there just aren't the same kind of weapons. So it looked like it should look. The defense, basically they said, all right, like we're better than you and like we need to show it. And I thought they showed it. It's just like the offense. So again, really encouraging. And now I think obviously the next test is Baltimore, which is a much better roster. So
yeah, that's on the 26th in 13 days. Now, interestingly, you said that's the next test. They've got 2 preseason games between now and then. We're not expecting to see many of the starters based on what Dan Quinn said. And also just based on my own intuition, watching that practice, there's no way you do that much work with the starters if you're then banking on them going out there and playing a ton on Friday. So I think it's going to be extremely limited in terms of the veteran starter key players on this team playing in the game at Northwest Stadium against the Dolphins on Friday night or tonight as you're listening to this, if you're on day 1 of the pod. But it wasn't all great. I did have a couple of things I wrote down as concerns, you know, where they didn't look as good as I wanted them to. We'll get to that next on Take Command.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Odyssey celebrates back to school season. Brought to you by T-Mobile, America's best mobile network according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data 1H 2026.